1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Landry.
48% of a random sample telephone survey conducted by ABCNews.com said recent increases in the price of gasoline have caused financial hardship in households. That's up from 36% in a Gallup poll 11 months ago. And the question was, have rising gasoline prices caused you financial hardship? A month ago, 48% said yes. And now it's... Excuse me. 1 year ago, 36% said yes, and now it's up to 48%. The price of gas is going up. The price of gasoline, United States Department of Energy reports average retail price for regular gas rose from $1.44 to $1.63. Here in California, as I mentioned yesterday, I paid $2.13 for a gallon of gas. I put it into my little 26-tank piece of crap. So that's, you know, that's a piece of change. At the Le Poisson Rouge restaurant in Malibu is Roland Schwinn. Roland writes for the MPG Digest, which is a fuel and auto consumption magazine, and he joins us. And we thank you. We're sorry to interrupt your dinner, Roland.
You know, Phil, I got the mention from John, who was the maitre d' here. He said you were on the phone, and I was a little bit surprised, but I'll try and help you.
Well, the American people have been complaining about rising price, the price of gasoline.
Yes.
And we're just wondering what we can do about this.
I was a little bit surprised you called, because we're now in what we call the downslope of consumer dissatisfaction. This is a cycle. I don't know how I can help you, but it's a cycle.
Well, what do you mean by a cycle?
Every time there is an increase in the price of gasoline, yes, thank you. Every time there's a price increase in gasoline, there is a cycle. The complaining starts, the threats of boycotts, and then nothing happens, and the price of gasoline generally stabilizes somewhere within 10 or 20 cents of its high point.
And then, well, what does all of that mean in English?
What all of that means in English, Phil, is that the American people continue to complain it won't do any good, and the reason why it won't do any good is I don't know if people understand how this works. We are getting gasoline, we are getting oil from OPEC, oil-producing, exporting countries.
And I understand all of that, Roland.
Let me finish, Phil. We are getting gasoline from OPEC, the oil-producing, exporting countries, crude oil. That's Venezuela, it's Iraq, it's Libya, it's Saudi Arabia. If it wasn't for the oil that we get from those countries, that those countries willingly sell to us, and I really hope I make myself clear this time around.
Well, I know we had you on the show a few months ago. You know, I'm just trying to...
Yeah, but I said all of this 3 months ago, so I'm trying to say it again. Is it your listeners don't understand or what?
My listeners don't understand? I don't understand what... People, you know, I mean, I guess I don't understand.
All right, let me explain this. The graph in my office shows it very clearly. Oil price increase takes effect. Then there is an upswing of some 57% in people bellyaching about it. And then the inevitable calls for a gas boycott go up to 39%. Then about 28% of all radio stations give away gasoline to their listeners. Within 3 weeks, the complaints drop off, the boycotts fail, the radio stations that gave away gasoline change formats, and everything returns to status quo. Do you understand what I mean by the fact that...
Well, you're making it sound like OPEC is doing us a favor.
Well, they are doing you a favor. They're doing you a wonderful favor. They're selling you their oil. You see, this summer, when Grandma and Grandpa want to take you, and I say you figuratively, I mean all of you listening, are we on the air right now?
Yeah, we're on the air. We're not taped. This isn't taped.
All right. Can I address myself directly to your listeners?
Go ahead.
This coming summer, when you decide to take your grandkids to the Smithsonian or to Mount Rushmore in the Winnebago or in the Land Cruiser, you're going to have to put gasoline into that. There's a very good chance that the oil, the crude oil that made the gasoline that you're putting into your Winnebago came from OPEC. Those are the people that, were it not for them, Your dreams of seeing Mount Rushmore or the Carlsbad Caverns would be a masturbation fantasy.
And I think that's a little bit...
If it's strong, I'm trying to make a point.
It's a little bit strong, yeah. Okay, I understand that there are people out there...
What I'm trying to say to all of your listeners is this. If it wasn't for the people at OPEC, we wouldn't be... We have to pay the price. And all the complaining of the world isn't going to do a thing.
Well, what if we boycotted? What if we...
Oh, man. I love you, Phil. I really do. I always enjoy going on your program.
Well, what if we boycotted? What if the people who buy gasoline, if we boycott...
Yeah, what if you boycott? Okay, go ahead and organize your boycott. Go ahead.
So you don't believe that we can do it, huh?
No, sure. Yeah, you can do it. Go ahead, boycott. Phil, your boycott will fizzle within about a week. All the people that said they wouldn't pay the price will pay the price. And life will be back to normal. Only at a cost of about $2.13 a gallon.
Let me ask you this. So we're all a bunch of schmucks, and...
No, you're not schmucks. You just don't understand how the game is played. All of your grousing and complaining to Union 76 or to BP or to Exxon or whoever doesn't matter at all, because the bottom line is OPEC sets the price, you'll pay it, and you'll pay it with a smile on your face. What do you think about that?
No, I don't have to smile.
Well, you will. If you want to take your children to see... Didn't you say you want to take them to Orlando this summer?
We're not gonna drive. We're going to fly.
Oh, you're going to fly?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That takes oil, too. The oil that goes into making the fuel for the jet. That comes from OPEC, too.
So there's no way around. There's nothing a consumer can do. There is...
Phil, no, there's nothing you can do other than to just say thank you for allowing us to buy your oil. And maybe then, if you don't complain enough, some of those guys over there, and I know a few of them, these are the oil-producing principals, might decide, all right, we'll lower the price as long as we don't have to listen to their caterwauling and their screaming.
Wow, I mean...
I'm being as honest as I can.
All right, Roland Schwinn is with us from MPG Digest. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. If you're paying a price for gasoline that is too high, the basic call from the industry is, that's tough, you're going to have to just suck it up, because the price is set for oil by OPEC, and we're going to pay it whether we like it or not. The other thing that that you said, Roland, that I just have a hard time believing is, in other words, we're not going to, no boycott, no...
Oh, don't go down that boycott road. You know, that whole thing about oil boycotts and gasoline boycotts, and I'm not going to pay because I...
You know, you're making it sound like we're idiots.
It's not that you're idiots. It's that the fact of the matter remains, you're going to pay. You know you're going to pay, aren't you?
If I have to, yet.
If you have to, yes. You know, I'm reminded of a story, a young man who entered jail for the very first time. And he was put into a cell with a guy, a very big guy, and he knew what the drill was. And the guy said, you're going to have to, so you might as well have a smile on your face.
What does jail rape have to do with this?
Well, I think that in a lot of ways it is very similar.
What does bringing up a case of jail rape have to do with this?
You don't think it's similar?
So in other words, what we got to do is bend over and smile, because...
Here comes OPEC driving it home, yeah. And I go on talk shows all the time, and I go on television shows all the time. I have a very direct message. I have a very sincere message. When I say to the American people, your complaints are going to gradually diminish and gradually diminish until you willingly pay the price for a gallon of gasoline.
And all right, one more question. We fought, and I've said this before, we fought a war 10 years ago, the Gulf War, that I would think might ensure a little ball playing on the part of OPEC in terms of the price of oil.
So in other words, what you're saying, out of gratitude, they should play ball.
Yes, out of gratitude, they should play ball, and they should regulate the price of oil.
You don't understand that the Gulf War we fought already out of gratitude to them for selling us their oil. And we saved Kuwait, and we saved Saudi Arabia. So we've already said thank you to them by way of the Gulf War.
Don't they owe it?
No, we owed them. That's what I'm trying to tell. Oh, boy. Every few months with you, Phil, on your show, it's driving me nuts.
Well, I got to bring you on to explain this stuff, okay? Hold on for a minute. There you go. That is from Roland Schwinn of MPG Digest. Complain all you want about the price of a gallon of gasoline because it's not going to do any good. The price of oil is regulated by OPEC, and it'll go up and it'll go down according to how they feel about things. And he also said any boycott that we decide we're going to mount is a whole lot of hooey. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show here. Roland Schwinn is at the Le Poisson Rouge. That's a restaurant in Malibu, right?
That's a wonderful restaurant in Malibu.
Roland writes for MPG Digest and basically says that no matter how much you complain, how much you cry, how much you protest, you'll never get the price of a gallon of gasoline down. And I said to you we could boycott. And
gasoline boycotts have never worked. Never will work. There isn't a human being in America that could lead a boycott, a gasoline boycott, and get enough people to follow him. It just won't work. And the sooner the American people understand that they have absolutely no choice in the matter, and
we could stop buying the gas.
Yeah, you can stop buying the gas, and you can stop driving to work, and you can stop flying airplanes, and you can basically stop living your life. Yes, you can stop buying gas. But you won't.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is John on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, I think this guy is totally wrong. I think a protest would be a great way to start.
And who's going to start a protest?
I tell you what.
Are you going to start the protest?
You start protesting against all the big companies.
And when does a gasoline protest ever work?
You start buying gasoline from all the small companies.
Yeah, that's great, John. That's great. Okay. Are you going to lead the protest, John? Are you going to take out ads in the newspaper?
Because I tell you what, if we would just go ahead and buy from the mom and pop, the smaller gas companies, all these gas companies like Exxon and Mobil or Texaco, they're going to start lowering their prices.
That's wishful thinking, John, and then you'll wake up. Then you'll
What's
wake
that?
Up. I say you're dreaming, and then you'll wake up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what protest are you going to lead, John?
Well, I tell you what.
Are you going to be the man?
Hey, there's plenty of gas stations here in Houston that sell it for $1.30 or whatever a gallon I can find. If I just go ahead and buy my gas there,
You might have to go into some parts of town that you don't go into ordinarily.
Whatever that's supposed to mean.
There's a company here called Racetrack that sells their gas for pretty cheap. So
well, you know what? The price of gas has been going up for the last I don't know how many years. People talk about having gas boycotts. They never work. So what do you want me to tell you? They never work, John. Are you going to be the guy to lead the gas boycott?
Why can't we have a gas boycott that actually works? Why can't...
Well, who's going to lead it? You?
I'm not going to lead it.
What about John there in Houston? Are you going to lead it?
Well, I tell you what. The gas will go down because I took control of OPEC or a lot of the big bears like Exxon and Mobil.
You haven't been to jail.
They control OPEC. OPEC controls the prices. Once Exxon starts seeing the...
John, have you ever been to jail? Do you know what I mean when I say jail rape? That's
jail rape.
What do you mean by jail rape?
That's what's happening to the American gasoline consumer. Now, we might as well all face this fact. America is OPEC's jail bitch. And
oh, man.
it's the truth, John.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Joe on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, Phil.
Yes.
This
situation with OPEC, we only buy 20% of our fuel
is that
supply.
Right? Then why does the price go up every time they raise the price of a barrel of gas?
Beg your pardon?
You heard me.
No, we didn't hear you. What?
Why does the price of gasoline go up when OPEC raises the price?
OPEC controls the pricing of the gasoline within the United States.
That's exactly correct.
That's right. OPEC sets the price of the fuel that you consume.
And you're going to smile when you pay that price.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Well, you're not going to change it.
Let me tell you something,
How are you going to change something?
Listen, you shut up and listen
how
for a minute, I'll tell you something, sir.
You're going to bend over and take the well-lubricated...
Okay, let the guy talk and forget the jail rape stuff. Go ahead, Joe.
I think he's thinking about the United States getting raped. But the factor of it is, OPEC oil companies... We buy 20%.
Oh, Jesus.
We buy 20% of our fuel supply from
OPEC.
Yes,
we got it, right.
All right, let the guy talk.
OPEC determines the price that we have to pay. Why?
Because you'll pay the price, Joe.
Take her 20% and shove it where the sun don't shine,
right,
and
Joe.
We'll run off for 80%.
And what gasoline are you going to buy?
$2 a gallon on our own fuel supply.
Now, where are you going to buy that?
Beg your pardon?
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Joe.
Did you understand what he said?
No, I didn't understand what he said. He said something about how 80% of the gasoline we...
Yeah, 80%. All of that stuff about 80%, 20%, these are dreams that are woven by people who lie in their bed at night, smoking a cigarette, probably with a can of gas sitting somewhere nearby, and thinking about the time that they could possibly influence the price of a gallon of gasoline to go down by some ill-fated, ill-thought protest or boycott. The American people have shown a very, I think, a very intelligent and a very wise inclination at paying the going rate for gasoline. And they're going to continue to do that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Roland Schwinn of MPG Digest, who's basically saying that the American people have absolutely no choice in the price. I mean, you're using terms like jail rape. America is OPEC's oil bitch, and
America is basically OPEC's jail bitch.
I mean, do you write this way in your magazine?
I have to. It's the only way I can get the message through to these people, because I get more letters, especially from a lot of these grandmothers. When will the price of gasoline come down? Oh, holy sweet Jesus! All of this nonsense. I don't know what to tell them other than the fact: will you just shut up and take it? Just shut up, and the price of gasoline may stabilize.
And you're mentioning that people are not going to be able to go to Mount Rushmore. When you say that OPEC, that there's a few guys over there in the Middle East who, I don't know how you want to put it, there's some guys over in the Middle East who, if we're nice, may stabilize the price of a gallon of gasoline. What does that mean?
There are a few of the principals involved in OPEC that I happen to know personally. I have had numerous meetings with them. I've interviewed several of them. And these are individuals who do keep an eye on the American temperament with regard to oil prices. If they see us complaining or getting a little crazy, if they see a lot of these oil boycotts or gas boycotts, they go back and advise their fellows on the OPEC board, let's raise the price on these pieces of crap because they're...
On these pieces of crap?
Well, it upsets them. I'll tell you, every time you put gas into your tank, you're taking a lubricated arm from the OPEC guys. And
will you stop it already with that, man? We got it already, okay?
Well, I'm just trying to let you know how it is.
So, yeah, that's how it is. Well, a lot of people are feeling that way, okay? But the fact is, you say that there's some guys over there who watch the American temperament, and if we keep our mouths shut, they might influence the price to go down?
They might influence the price to go down, exactly. And the reason why I say that is I happen to know a few of these people. And a phone call can make a world of difference in whether or not the American people have to pay $30 a barrel or $40 a barrel as opposed to $20 or even $15. So what I would suggest is that you quit telling me what to do and what to say here and start giving me a little reason to help you.
Yeah, are you telling me that you can influence?
I'm telling you I know some people, yes.
Well,
give me your sob story.
Give me my sob story.
Go ahead. I hear it all. I get letters from these old ladies. Go ahead. What's your problem?
I don't have a problem, man. I just don't like paying $2.13 for a gallon of gasoline. I came to work the other day. It cost me an arm and a leg to fill up the gas tank. Yeah, okay, that's my sob story, all right?
And you want me to go to some of these guys with that? I mean, isn't there anybody, did you have a problem getting a child to a hospital?
No, I didn't have any problems getting anybody to the hospital.
What about, did your car run out of gas coming back from a bar one night? Anything. Give me something that...
Yeah, okay, that's it. My car ran out of gas coming home from a bar.
Now, that's something I can take to them. That will influence their thinking.
Okay, they'll be amenable to that, huh?
Yes, they will.
All right, Roland, good luck with all of your friends and good luck with your dinner.
Good luck with my dinner. What am I eating? Something that will kill me?
I don't know. Just good luck with your dinner, and thanks so very much for joining us as we continue to caterwaul and complain about the price of freaking gasoline over here. And that guy is sitting there at the Les Poissons Rouges telling us to shut up. And maybe, if just maybe, he'll help us out next time he meets with Ahmed. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show here, and Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association is going to join us. She's on to talk about their summertacular, and of course, this is Southern California Lifestyles with Bobby Dooley. This segment of the program purchased by the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and with the summer cookout season just ahead, I know, Bobby, you guys are planning a lot of activities, including your big summertacular.
Phil, that is exactly correct. The summertacular is scheduled for late June. And we are certainly excited about hosting the Intergated Community Games that will be held near our community center in late July. Only gated communities are invited that have a guard at the gate. There will be no coded entry gated communities invited. And also, Phil, I want to single out Gail Newman and Kathy Robertson. They are two wonderful activities coordinators. They will be supervising many of the things, everything from our games to the food, to our fashion show. And right now we're having a lot of fun with Gail because she's really white. She has no tan at all. And I have fortunately, Phil, I was blessed with an olive complexion. So we have fun with Gail, calling her Casper the Friendly Ghost and all of that. But seriously, as we approach the summertacular, she will need to get some color. Or we have a problem. She may have to step down from some of the committees.
Are you talking about why does she have to step down?
You know, it's a good question, and so we don't want to be snobs, but having somebody in a very visible position like that on a summertacular committee and they don't have a tan, this is California. Having a tan is part of what we do. I'm not sure I know why that surprises you.
Well, if she's, for instance, fair-skinned, okay.
Well, summertime is for health and fun and exercise. And
well, yeah, but tans can mean sun damage, and what you're telling me is, this is a lady who is on one of your activities committees. She doesn't have a tan.
That is correct. Yes.
Well, getting a tan could be a damaging thing.
You know, Phil, I understand that some people have that problem, but our family's moved in here to Western Estates, which is a very, very special place, with the understanding that we wanted to promote a visibly vital and an outwardly healthy appearance, and so. The understanding was, according to our CCNRs, that you had to be part, you know, of the sunny California way. And
so what does that mean if you don't have a tan?
Well, I think it's, I'm looking for the phrase when you explain yourself.
And self-explanatory.
Yeah, I think it's self-explanatory, that in order to live at Western Estates, you should, during the summer months, have a tan. Tanning is... Well, it's weird that I have to explain this. You are from California.
I'm from Southern California, yes. I'm from Southern California. I was born and raised here, and I don't have a tan, per se. I mean, I get I get freckles.
Well, Phil, this is California. This is where the Beach Boys live and the tan. And Gail doesn't have a tan. We encouraged her to go through the pre-summer tanning sessions. And
is that like a tanning salon that you have?
These are tanning salons. We have gift certificates. And we encourage all of our steering committee members to do that. So when summer begins, she'll have a tan.
And well, what did she say?
Well, she said that she felt that that kind of exposure to a sun lamp would be damaging to her skin. It's possible that she's too white to get a tan. So in the event that we have to prepare a letter to the attention of her attorney advising her that she has...
Okay, Bobby, are you telling me that you have to actually bring the Homeowners Association... The Homeowners Association...
Phil, we are a very special community. Western Estates is not like any other place. We embody the outdoor, healthy California lifestyle. We tan. We play a lot of tennis in the summer. We do a lot of swimming. We're very outdoors. And we get ready for that season by getting a tan. It is in our CCNRs that you have to have an outwardly vital, healthy image. And if you're on our steering committee and you don't tan... then, in other words, you're
in violation of CCNRs.
Absolutely. And the Homeowners Association has every right to lien her property.
It just seems very wrong to take someone's home away from them because they won't tan.
Well, she volunteered for the steering committee. And
well, what if she got off the steering committee?
I think it's a little late for that. I think that she volunteered for the activities committee. She volunteered without a tan. She knew she'd have to get a tan. And now...
She's not tan.
She doesn't have a tan. And I think it's wrong. And again, it says in our CCNRs.
Quote it to me if you wouldn't mind.
Visibly vital and outwardly healthy with a tan. The tan is obviously important to the summertacular and is also important to the lifestyle of California. That's why our homeowners association reserves the right to require that people on our summertacular steering committee and on our activities committee have a tan.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know of any other homeowners associations that actually require tans, per se.
Well, it's just that she represents us, Phil, and you can't go to the integrated community games. You can't go to some of the functions that we hold out of state and not have a tan. Otherwise, you look white, and being white, I mean, I don't know if you've ever taken your shorts off at the beach during the summertime and you're white. It's really, really ugly, and if you don't have a tan, it's really ugly.
Well, let me tell you something, Bobby, from my own personal experience, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in California. I am a freckle-faced, redheaded kid. I didn't have a tan. Every time I went to...
You know, I really resent your tone. What I'm trying to say...
I'm sorry, but what I'm trying to say to you is there are those of us who, if we get tans, or we can't even tan. I mean, we freckle or we burn.
I know a great many women. I know a lot of redheads. You know Susan Wyman. She's a redhead.
I know Susan.
And she's very dark, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I don't know what that is. There's some people who have red hair, and they're able to tan. I don't know what that is.
Well, Susan is one of our steering committee members. She has no problem getting a tan. And so I think that...
I'm just telling you that as a redhead, it's difficult to get a tan. And maybe if she hadn't have volunteered for the steering committee, then...
Well, what we offer her is this, basically, Phil. She is embarrassing us, and what I would ask her to do is to leave the steering committee now and don't be involved in any of the activities committees. And we might be able to see our way around this. But to be from Western Estates and not have a tan, you know, it's just...
I know it's really important to a lot of people. I know it's really important to a lot of people who live in California. I don't know...
It's part of who we are at Western Estates, having a tan. You know Gail Newman.
I know Gail.
And you know Robbie Bryson.
Yes.
They both have wonderful tans. And
well, why don't you get those two women with the tans to take over this other lady's, the Kathy's place?
We can, Phil, but again, we have the Homeowners Association to think of. She's going to want to be at our summertacular, and she's going to be white. And when people are on the beach and they're white, it's just ugly, and it doesn't look like they have a tan, and it doesn't look like they're in the outdoors, and it doesn't look like they water ski or parasail. And tanning is part of that.
All right. Well, I
see you don't have a tan, so you don't.
You're right. I don't have a tan. I don't understand. Okay. And I've never been on a committee quite the kind that you're talking about. And
have you ever been parasailing? Have you ever been water skiing?
No, I don't parasail. No, I don't water ski. And no, I don't. I don't scuba dive.
Have you ever surfed?
I surfed when I was young.
See, that's one of the reasons why you're probably very white and you're not tan.
Because I don't do a lot of that beach stuff. And there's a reason why I don't do a lot of the beach stuff, because I get, you know, sunburned.
Well, then Kathy, if she's a redhead, should never have moved into Western Estates. We play tennis. We wear tennis shorts with dark, dark legs and the white socks. There's a marvelous contrast between white tennis shorts, white socks, and almost black, almost African-looking legs, you know?
Yeah, almost African. In other words...
You know, your tone is very condescending.
I a lot of the stuff you're talking about is wacko, okay? The fact that the tan with the shorts. Here is Tara on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Fine. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted mm-hmm. to say, mm-hmm. I don't think that it's right that that's in the clause, that mm-hmm. you have to have a tan.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay, because, I mean, I think a person is capable of doing her job.
You know something? You're Tara?
Yes.
Tara, I'm Bobby. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
First of all, part of her job is on the steering committee for our outdoor activities at the Summertacular, which means tennis. There's going to be a lot of boating. There will be some snorkeling. And if you don't have a tan, how does it look? if you're out, you know
fine.
What I
mean? Have you looked in, like, a magazine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with fair skin are also very beautiful.
Well, they're very beautiful, yes, but they don't look sporty. They don't look like they're involved in activities. I'm sure you've been to the lake or to the beach or wherever you go,
mm-hmm.
and you've seen people who are white, really white. Are you tan?
Well, I'm tan, but I don't see anything wrong with people needing to be tanned. It looks sporty.
But
I live in Colorado.
Isn't it wonderful?
And, I mean, as you know, it's cold up here, and it's snowing a lot of the time.
But you can get a tan in the snow because you can get snow tanned.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just get it on your face, and you have these big old, you know, raccoon eyes.
Well, that's true. The raccoon eyes are fun, but it looks very sporty when you see someone come off the slope, and they pull off their goggles, and they sort of have the big raccoon look. It's very sporty. I think it's very sexy. What we're asking is that the color of the legs be a mocha, not quite African-American, but a mocha.
I think that's really discriminatory,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it's
mm-hmm,
like saying
mm-hmm.
you have to be black to work here,
no,
you know?
No. We're not saying you have to be black. We are saying if you are white, if you're of a Caucasian origin, we do like it if the legs are a mocha or a dark coffee.
Some people aren't capable of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
that's what I said to her, Tara. Like, I was raised, I'm fair skin. Would I not be
too.
On that?
No, you, Phil, you're invited to our Summertacular, but no, you couldn't be on the steering committee. No, of course not. Are you white?
Me? Am I white?
No, not white race, but I mean, like, in the when you take your shorts off, are you really white?
Well, yeah, and I go tanning. I've been tanning every day for, like, the past 2 months, and
well,
I'm still
Phil,
pretty white.
Well, Phil, when you wear your shorts at the beach, are your legs, you know, are they really white and grody?
Are
well,
they white
like
and grody?
What about you, Phil?
Are my legs white and grody? Yeah, I'm really white when I take my when I have my bathing suit on at the beach and when I take my shirt off, okay? I'm really white.
Ew. That,
well,
you know, that's just
you know,
ew.
I
you know what I mean, Tara? It's just ew. It's just wrong.
It's very discriminatory, and
well,
I think that maybe you guys need to look over the clause.
The what clause?
The clause in the...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Steve?
Yeah?
If someone's wearing their underwear at the beach and their legs are really white, what do you think?
I don't think it looks very sporty.
See, my husband doesn't believe it looks sporty.
Well, I mean, that's two opinions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here in Colorado, a lot of people are white and they go running.
Mm-hmm.
And my PE coaches and my coaches are white. I mean, my wrestling coach, Mr. Barker, he has the whitest legs you will ever
see. You know, it's really weird to see people with white legs, though, isn't it? Just be honest with me, isn't it?
It's really scary, and it's really weird.
All right,
no.
Look, I got to take a break. Tara, thank you for sticking up for the milky skin people here. The whole idea, though, seriously, Bobby, to not have people on your steering committee because they don't tan, just seems.
Phil, she signed the CC&R. She's a part of our homeowners association, like everybody else. It's really, really wrong, and it's really, really gross.
That she's white.
That she doesn't tan.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley with us from Western Estates Homeowners Association. They are getting ready to kick off their steering committee for their Summertacular, Kathy Robertson, because she doesn't have a good tan. And she refuses to go to their tanning salon so she can get a tan, so she can look sporty and outdoorsy for their Summertacular. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. With Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, their Summertacular is coming up, and you have a legal challenge being brought against a member of the one of the activities committees because she doesn't have a tan, and therefore you don't want her working on these activities committees.
Phil, you know what it is, if I could just jump in here. My husband, Steve, and I were talking, and my husband really believes that people who are really white and don't have a tan look like they are indoors all day long. And Steve, tell Phil what...
They look like they're indoors, they don't have any friends.
Did you hear that, Phil?
Yeah, slightly.
He said it looks like because they stay indoors all the time, they don't have any friends. And if you don't have any friends, if you're really white and you don't have a really nice tan, and then you look like you don't have friends, why are you, you know, not See, it just really scares me. And, like, they're the kind of people that collect comic books and things like that.
All right. So, in other words, if people don't have friends...
Then why do we want to be seen with them? I know it sounds really weird.
Well, it sounds a little snobby. Let me go over here to Alicia on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
This lady is
mm-hmm.
so shallow. She
mm-hmm.
should be scared.
Mm-hmm.
She should be really, really scared.
Mm-hmm.
This is violating this lady's civil rights. This is like saying someone with green eyes can't be in their homeowners association.
No, we're asking her to tan.
They took her money.
We're asking her to tan, and she can be on our committee.
Okay, and what degree of tan must she get? Each person's
different. We like something mocha to not quite African, but a nice mocha.
You're completely
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You accepted
mm-hmm.
her money. She lives in your homeowners association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't violate her civil rights and say she doesn't have enough muscle for you, or she's not tan enough
mm-hmm.
for you.
I don't think you're right. My husband believes that you're wrong about that.
You and your husband are going to look 65 when you're 50 years old. And
no.
This lady is probably going to look 40 when she's 50 years old.
I use a really, really good moisturizer. I also use vitamin E oil.
I think you've been in the sun too long and you've fried your brain. If you can't see that you're a complete snob, and this is the most ridiculous, idiotic thing I've ever heard of, you've been in the sun too long. You've fried your brain.
I can tell you're really white, aren't you? You're very pasty.
I am very tan, as a matter
mm-hmm.
of fact. I have blonde hair,
mm-hmm,
blue
mm-hmm,
eyes,
mm-hmm.
and a beautiful, beautiful tan.
Well, you sound as if you're really, really pasty white, and you're really jealous of people who have a tan.
Oh, please. Lady, you got a screw loose. I have a beautiful tan. I have three blonde children that tan so easily. And you know what?
It's none of your business
the color of my skin, just like it's none of your business the color of her skin.
It's a tip off.
You accepted her money.
That's
she
a tip
moved
off,
into
she's
your
really,
homeowners
really
association.
See, my
then,
husband,
then it's none of your business from that point on.
Alicia, my
you
husband.
You have to look at what kind
mm-hmm,
of information, what kind
mm-hmm,
of fun she can
mm-hmm,
bring to your steerage committee.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to look at what kind of mm-hmm. color her skin is.
No, it's not racial. You see, Alicia, you said you're blonde and you said your children are blonde. That's a tip-off to me that you're really, really white. And that,
no, there's a lot of...
Are you crazy?
Well,
I
then why do you have
shirt.
Why do you have blonde hair?
What do you mean, why do I have blonde hair? I was born with blonde hair, blue eyes, and
why?
And it's none of your business, but I'm very, very tan. My kids tan very easily. We play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We do sports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'7" and I weigh 106 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And most of that is muscle, but that is none of
mm-hmm.
your business.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to meet you on the tennis
mm-hmm.
court, lady. I would love it.
You know something? I'd really love that because I have a very good tan, too. I am olive complected.
Let's see who can
mm-hmm.
win a game of tennis. Let's do that.
You know what? I'll take you out there and you'll cry. That's how good
okay.
I am. No, That's
you
how
have,
good I am.
You
You'll
have,
cry.
You,
Are you,
you
mocha?
You seem to have a problem accepting that this is the year 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone doesn't have to have a tan.
You're 5'7" and 106.
And very fair people
mm-hmm.
have just, I would reason to bet that people who have fair skin have probably
Alicia,
10 times more friends than you do.
Alicia,
just by listening to
I
you
would
on the radio.
Love, on the tennis court, I would beat you so bad you would cry. And that's
not
what's
even.
Making you angry.
Not
you that's what's
do
making
it.
You angry.
All right, look at Alicia.
This
thank you. I
got to
take
tennis.
A break. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show.